How many of you know there's a battle going on in this place? And it's inside of you, right? We are in a battle, and the battle is in us. And I want us this morning, as we turn to Romans chapter 6, to be thinking about the fact that there is a war within us. There is a war within us. There are two natures that are at war inside of you today. If you were just an unsaved person, there's one battle. But if you are a child of God, there's a second big battle. Because there are two natures in us. There's the nature of God, and there's the nature of the sin principle that was inherited by Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned and disobeyed God, they listened to Satan. They listened to Satan's telling them that God didn't love them, that God didn't care about them, that God was cheating them, that God was withholding something from them, and that they themselves could become gods. And they listened to that, and they took of that fruit. They plunged all of the human race, they being the first two, into sin. And all of us are born with an old sin nature. Now, I realize that there's a little hint in Scripture that the sin nature is passed down by the fathers. But that does not mean that the mothers don't have one. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is born with an old sin nature. Now, you say, where do you find that in the Bible? Well, you read over those three chapters, and you will find expressions such as this: the old man, the old nature, the sin nature, the flesh, and you will recognize, I went one too far here, you will recognize that you have it, I have it, and we can call it the old sin nature, or OSN, if you please, if you like to be short. Now, there's also a new nature in us. And that new nature is derived by the presence of God's Holy Spirit when He moved in on the day that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He came to indwell you. And we learn that concept from Acts chapter 2 and other places in the book of Romans and elsewhere, that God's Holy Spirit indwells, lives in every true believer. Now, if there's no evidence that the Holy Spirit is living in you, then you are not a true believer. There may be a time when you said, I want Jesus to be my Savior, probably when you were younger. But there's no evidence that the Holy Spirit is living in you, dwelling in you, guiding you, controlling you, and keeping you from wickedness. You are not God's child yet. And so it's time to face up to the reality and get your life right with God. Amen? Because if your life is right with God, the Holy Spirit permanently, and I emphasize that word permanent, because what does He give us? Everlasting life. How long does that last? Forever. Eternal. And so His presence in you has to be eternal as well, right? Everlasting. Now, that puts a new nature in you, connected to the Holy Spirit. But also in you is still that old nature, that sin nature. It's called the flesh. It's called sin. And that's in you. And that connects you to Satan. So in you is a constant tug of war. You are not the old nature. You are not the new nature. But you have the old nature, and you have the new nature. Now, you have control of the switch. Y'all know what a switch is? There's three of them there. The opposite side of the room to the other three. And back and forth, you control the lights. And so you pretend that somebody's standing over there with that set of light switches. Somebody stands over here with this set of light switches. And one flips it one way and the other says, no, I want it off. So he flips it over there. And back and forth, the constant fighting going on. and the lights are flashing on and off. Now, that's what's going on inside your heart and inside my heart. Now, let's look at the believer's experience. All right, if you're an unsaved person here this morning, and I trust you aren't, but if you are, I trust that you'll come to trust Jesus as Savior before you get out that door today. If you're an unsaved person, you have one nature. It's the old sin nature. You were born with it. But you do not have the new nature, because that comes at the time of the new birth. But if you're a saved person, now you have the two natures. And now the war really begins. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Turn with me, first of all. Oh, by the way, we're going to keep coming back here to chapter 6 and 7. So maybe you want to put a marker here in your Bible at Romans 6. And then go with me over to Galatians. 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Right here, just before Ephesians is Galatians. Have you found it yet? Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Well, let's begin at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, how many natures are mentioned in that verse? Two. The spirit nature and the flesh nature, or the old sin nature. For the flesh, the old sin nature, lusts against the spirit, the new nature in you, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we'll touch on that matter a little bit later on. But I want you to notice that there are two natures in you, and you have to make a choice which one you're going to obey, which one you're going to yield to. And back over in chapter 6 of Romans, we have that verse, and we read it this morning, which says, yield your bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God. It says in verse 13, do not present or yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So the choice is yours. You are the one in control of the switch. You are the one that decides who you're going to obey. You are the one who decides, am I going to yield to the old sin nature in this issue, or am I going to stay strong and let God's Holy Spirit control this situation? And that contest goes on constantly. That contest goes on all day long, every day of your living, waking, breathing life. In fact, you probably find yourselves even having to apply that in dreams, where you make decisions in your dreams. And there's enough consciousness in your dreams that you get to choose which way that dream's going to turn out. You see, every moment of every day, you and I have to be making choices about who or what, which way we flip the switch, who we're going to yield to. We're going to yield to God's Holy Spirit here. We're going to yield to the old sin nature connected to Satan over here. And the tug of war goes on back and forth. Now, when did the tug of war begin? Well, it began as a result of salvation. Look at chapter 7 of Romans, verse 22. Chapter 7 of Romans and verse 22. The Apostle Paul is writing this, and he has just talked about a battle that he's been going through. And he says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Now, when do you begin to delight in the things and the law of God? Certainly not before you're saved. Before you're saved, you certainly are not interested in pleasing God, are you? You're interested in pleasing who? You. You. That's who we want to please. We still do even after we're saved. But now we have choices that we have to be making. Because do we please me when me wants something that is wrong? We have to make choices about which vocabulary we're going to keep using. To some, that's not a big deal, but to others, that's a very big struggle. Which vocabulary are you going to use? The one you used before you got saved? Or the one that God wants you to use? And as some guys have said, and some women as well, because I've heard women talk worse than men, this is not a man thing, cussing, swearing, and obscenities. I hear some awful foul language come out of women's mouths sometimes. Not yours. At least I hope I never hear it come out of yours. But I'll tell you what. Some people, they have to learn a whole new vocabulary when they get saved. They have to go back to English 101, don't they? Others don't have that problem because they didn't use a lot of that bad language to begin with. But some have to change their reading material, their viewing habits, their jokes, their storytelling. All has to change. Why? Because you are now under the authority of a new king, a new commander, a new captain of your life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when King Jesus takes over, things change. We all know that verse. I quote it very often. Last Sunday it was no exception. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. And while it's not translated that way, to me the understanding is that way. Old things are passing away. There's not a total transformation all at once. Don't you wish there was? But there isn't. And that's my message today. There's a war within. And there are choices that we have to make. And do I always make the right choice? Don't you kid yourself. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Ask my neighbors. They probably will tell you too. We don't always make the right choice no matter who we are. But there's a choice to be made constantly. Well, let's look at this. The believer's responsibility. Now, first of all, our responsibility in relation to that old sin nature. What is our responsibility in relation to the old sin nature? First of all, we have to accept what God says about it. Well, what does God say about it? Notice in verses 6 to 11 of chapter 6. 6 to 11 in chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. You see, we can't leave the Easter message out of this. You can't have Easter last Sunday and then forget about the cross. Because it's a vital part of the picture for the rest of our life. Amen? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we no longer be slaves of sin. Now, don't you wish that it were true, like some people teach, that there is annihilation of the old sin nature, or eradication of the old sin nature when you get saved. And you never have that thing in you again. Folks, that's not true. How can you say that when the Scripture says that you have it? And that you have the battle with it constantly? I read on. For he who has died has been freed from sin. All that is saying is, you don't have to obey the old sin nature. Doesn't say it isn't there. It says that you are free from its bondage. You are free from its control. If you choose to be. And that's the point. you and I have to make the choices. The temptations come at us constantly. Everywhere you go and everything you do, there are temptations to sin associated with it. Why? Because of three things. And I didn't have that in my notes, but you can write this reference down. It's 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. And what's it tell us there? It says that there are three things that are tugging at you and me constantly to sin. The world. And never has there been as much input from the world into all of us as there is today. With television, with advertising, with our texts, our cell phones, our smartphones. We are constantly have the world coming at us, 100 miles an hour. Actually, millions of miles an hour if you understand electronics. Because electric signals can run at way over a million miles an hour. Boom! It's there. Instantaneous. Secondly, the world. Secondly, the flesh, or the old sin nature. That's this guy inside of me that wants me to sin. And then the third one, it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. What is it? The devil. And you've all heard the expression, the devil made me do it. That is a lie. That is a lie. The devil may have helped to tempt you to do it, but he didn't make you do it. You chose to do it. You made the wrong choice. You chose the wrong vocabulary. You chose the wrong program to watch. You chose the wrong thing to read. You chose the wrong people to listen to. You chose the wrong place to go. You chose the wrong beverage. You chose the wrong diet. Don't you blame the devil. You made the choice. Remember, you are not the old sin nature. You are not the new nature. They both are there, but you decide which one you're going to obey. Back over in Romans chapter 6, it says in that one verse, reckon. Reckon. That's kind of a bookkeeping term, isn't it? That means to figure up the cost. Make a right choice based on what it's going to cost. What's it going to cost you to sin? Will you lose your salvation? No, but you lose your testimony, don't you? You lose your peace. You lose your joy. You lose your witness. You may lose your happy home. Or you may keep your home from being happy if you make wrong choices. Reckon, he says. Let me keep on reading. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 8. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Doesn't say you are dead. It says reckon that you're dead. Consider the fact that Jesus died for your sin. He paid the debt. Apply that to your daily life. Apply that to your account. Apply that to your decision making. Christ died for me. Christ paid my penalty. Christ suffered in my place. Christ is my substitute. Jesus is my Savior. The old man there is said to be crucified in us. No, it says it's crucified with Christ. It's not crucified in us. We have that conflict going on. So we accept in faith, not by feeling. If you listen to your feelings, which way are you going to go? Old sin nature, right? But if you're saying, God said this, I believe it, that settles it, and you make this choice, you have peace, you have joy, and you have a witness, and you have a life that is pleasing and blessed by God. Continuing the thought about our responsibility, not only are we to accept God's estimate of it, but we're to make no provision for the flesh. And boy, is that a hard one not to do. Look over in chapter 13, verse 14. Still in Romans. 13, 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Now, the word lust means a strong desire. Most temptations are, aren't they? They're a strong desire. We desire something, but in most cases, the word lust in Scripture is used with a negative connotation. Now, interestingly enough, Jesus used that word in a positive way. When he sat down with his disciples the night of the Passover meal before crucifixion, he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this meal with you. He used these words. But that's about the only positive place in Scripture where this word is used. Most places, it is in the context of evil, of wickedness, of the desire to do wrong. So, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts or its evil desires. The second thing is, or third, the first one was accept God's estimate of it. Second one is make no provision for the flesh. The third one is mortify the flesh. Now, what in the world does mortify mean? Well, it's obviously connected with the word mortician. What's a mortician do? He prepares the dead for burial, right? Mortify means then to put to death. To put to death. Now, where in the world is that? Well, do I have it up there? Yes, I do. Colossians chapter 3. You want to look there with me? We're coming back to Romans. Colossians chapter 3. Right after Philippians. Therefore, verse 5, put to death, or in the Old King James, mortify your members which are on the earth. And then here's the list of things that you're to put away, put out of your life, put to death, bury, whatever you want to use there. And they are things like fornication, that's sex before marriage, uncleanness, that can also imply various kinds of sex sins, passion, that's a strong desire to do something that may not be right, evil desires, covetousness, wanting what somebody else has, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8. But now you must put off all these. You say, well, I don't do any of those other things. Well, what about this list? Anger. You ever get angry? You ever have wrath? Malice, that's wishing evil against someone else. Blasphemy. Filthy language out of your mouth. And then I like this translation in verse 9. Stop lying one to another. You say, well, that isn't how my Bible reads. No, but that's a legitimate translation of that passage. Stop lying one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. In other words, you've stopped throwing the switch in his direction. you now throw the switch over to the Holy Spirit. Put off the old man and his deeds. So, mortify the flesh. And then number four, never try to improve the old sin nature. You can't. It's always and forever will be evil. You can't improve upon it. What you got to do is ignore it and stop obeying it and stop yielding to it. And then finally, the last one. Put it off. Lay it down. Put it in the closet. Don't allow it to be a part of your Christian wardrobe, so to speak. And then very quickly, my last set of points. As we're still talking about the believer's responsibility. And first it was in relation to the old sin nature. But now let's end on a positive note. Notice our responsibility as Christians in relation to the new nature. And I've already used this word, reckon, back over in Romans 6 and verse 11. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. See, it's a choice. I'm alive to God. I'm going to please God. I'm going to give in to God. I'm going to let God have His way in my life every day. That's a course, by the way. Let the Lord have His way in your life every day. There's no peace. There's no joy till the Lord has His way. And I can't remember the rest of the words, but it has to do with let the Lord have control. So we need to reckon ourselves to be alive to the Lord. Secondly, we need to walk in newness of life. Remember that verse? It's in context where we often read it with baptismal. He says, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And then he says up in verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And then number 3, we need to feed it. We need to feed the new man. We need to nourish it. We do it by reading the Word of God. We do it by studying the Word of God. We do it by teaching the Word of God. Every Sunday school teacher I've ever talked to says they learn more by preparing for Sunday school teaching or Awana or whatever they do than hearing it preached to them. And that's true, because as you're studying to teach, you're also teaching yourself. Amen? And then memorize the Word of God. And we all knew that, right? And then lastly, put on the new man. In other words, practice the teachings of the Word of God in your life. Ephesians 4:24. And can you get back over there real quick? Ephesians 4:24. It says, and you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. Practice the Word of God. And then last, depend upon the indwelling Spirit for power. And the Holy Spirit living in you wants to empower you. Look at verse 30 of Ephesians 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. And you remember I preached a message on Ephesians 4 back here a while ago, where we said that we're to walk lovingly, we're to walk worthy, we're to walk peacefully, we're to walk avoidingly, which means or evadingly, avoiding the old sin nature. We're to walk positively, we're to walk spiritually, We're to walk forgivingly, and then over in chapter 5 and verse 8, we're to walk enlightenedly. And then in verse 15, we're to walk circumspectly. And finally, in verse 18 of chapter 5, we're to walk soberly. So let us walk with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the fellowship of the new nature in us, and not yield ourselves as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we know there's a war going on in us. We recognize that as soon as we got saved. But now, Lord, perhaps we are better equipped to resist the old sin nature and to yield to your new nature, the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and works in us. Glorify yourself in our lives. And Father, if there is a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl in our midst who has not yet truly been born again, they've not yet truly yielded to you, they've not yet truly been saved from their sin, I pray that you would convict them of it, convince them that they need to cry out to you and confess you as Lord and Savior of their life, and surrender to you and allow you to wash away their sin and make them your child. God bless each one that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.